Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome everyone to another Roman show. Tonight is January 29th, and we welcome ex-UFC fighter Yoslandi Izquierdo, Alana Jones, who fights at Max FC, Lexi Fifth, Greek god Papadon, independent professional wrestler making a big waves around all over the professional wrestling world, and lastly, World Series of Fighting fighter Tyler Stinson. This plus much more on the Roman show as we get started. And we're going to also have open phone line, so call 714-868-0222. That's 714-868-0222.
Step down to the get down.
All right, whenever you're ready.
5 seconds to the open.
Aquarius, watch that little gimbal.
We don't want you coming off in space.
Booster, go. Retro, go.
Vital, we're go flight.
Guidance, sense.
Surgeon,
go flight.
Calm,
we're go flight.
GNC,
we're go.
Telling you, go.
Control,
go
flight.
Go,
go, go.
FAO,
we are go.
Network,
go.
Recovery,
go.
Capcom,
we're go flight.
Launch control, this is Houston. We are go for launch.
The Roman Show.
With your host, Rodolfo Roman.
January 28th, The Roman Show back on the airwaves. 29th, sorry. Back on the airwaves. And we have lots to talk about as we welcome 5 guests this evening in mixed martial arts and also pro wrestling, but would like to also welcome you to another episode and invite you to subscribe to our YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/rroman0201, where you will have an opportunity of watching several interviews. One of the latest ones we had was with Kalen Hotman, who is part of the Seattle Seahawks. He will be in action against the Denver Broncos, Super Bowl 48 in New Jersey/New York. There's always seems to be a battle there, but it is actually taking MetLife Stadium is located in New Jersey. But Kalen Hotman, who went to Florida International University, is now playing for the Seattle Seahawks. And well, he lets us know about his team and how they are preparing to face off against the Denver Broncos in a very cold Super Bowl, which is what they are predicting. You can check that out on our YouTube channel. Also, Ricardo Lamas, who is fighting Jose Aldo for the title this Saturday. We have an exclusive one-on-one where we sit down with Ricardo Lamas, and he lets us know his plan on how to take down the reigning king in the featherweight division. On the other line, Guillermo Garcia. What's up, Guillermo?
Well, not much, man. Just looking forward to the big weekend, man. Birthday, Super Bowl, concerts, WWE, UFC. I mean, there's a lot going on.
Too much, especially down here in South Florida. You know, you got the WWE on Friday, then you have the UFC on TV, and then you have, obviously, the Super Bowl on Sunday. So it's going to be a lot of action this coming week. And yes, my birthday is on Saturday, so I'll be celebrating that. And also, Joe the Reporter's birthday is on Friday. Mine is on Saturday. Sorry, mine is on Saturday. Joe the Reporter is on Fridays, so we'll be having a lot of celebrations here tonight. Lots to talk about. We are going to welcome in just a few minutes Tyler Stinson. But I want to talk briefly here with the UFC, Guillermo. We weren't on last week, but George St. Pierre making some statements on the reason why he left the UFC, Dana White talking back, and some blows were traded there as GSP was talking about the whole drug testing and so forth, and Dana White now agreeing what he is saying. Your thoughts on what's going on with the whole drama between Dana White and GSP, George St. Pierre?
No, I mean, I believe that, you know, St. Pierre's being honest about his intentions with drug testing and all that. I think that he's in the right position here, and Dana White comes off looking real bad, especially, you know, trying to put down, like, somebody like George St. Pierre, who's always been very respectable And, you know, a lot of people are of the opinion that the UFC should be doing more about, you know, performance-enhancing drugs. And it seems like they're always just saying, no, the it's up to the athletic commissions. It's not our problem. You know, and I think George St. Pierre, you know, I think he's on the right side of this. And Dana White's just been making a lot of, like, boneheaded comments lately, not just to George St. Pierre, but I don't know if you heard what he said about Roy Nelson earlier today.
Yep.
And the him swapping opinions about TRT, and you know, he's just not been saying a lot of good things lately.
Yeah, lately he's been going off the record. In fact, he even had a heated battle with a reporter who was calling him out on some of his thoughts and some of the things that the UFC is doing. But he's been on a roll recently, and I'm not sure if you caught that, but I believe it was on BJPenn.com where they had the tweet by tweet exactly. I mean, listen, my hat off to this guy. This guy literally was tweeting everything that was happening with Dana White and the reporter. The reporter was calling him out, stating facts. And then Dana White was saying, listen, we're going to get you the facts. And I mean, it was just on and off. It was ridiculous. But either way, he also spoke about yesterday about the whole WWE network and his thoughts. And he called McMahon a maniac, although Vince McMahon did challenge him one day to a fight. But he said that he wasn't agreeing as far as how the WWE is handling the network, showing all of their pay-per-views, saying that it devalues the product because you're charging $10, and that's basically saying, look, that's all you're worth, $10 a month. So he doesn't see it in a business-wise that it's a smart move, but he also says, hey, that's what Vince McMahon does. He takes and risks chances. He also went on the Arsenio Hall show and said that Floyd Mayweather will be murdered in the UFC and MMA, which is common sense. This is mixed martial arts. This is not boxing. I mean, to say a statement like that without, you know, being a little bit more detailed, it's really not fair to Floyd Mayweather, Guillermo. I mean, the guy's a boxer. It's common sense. Can't really say he's going to get murdered. Of course he's going to get murdered. He's not a mixed martial artist. He's a boxer.
No, I agree with you. Dana White's just like, he's just been rattling off his mouth, and, you know, he's not been thinking about what he's saying, and it just makes him look real bad. I mean, like, if he was saying, you know, smart things, then nobody would think anything of it, but, you know, I don't know if you heard what happened with Roy Nelson. Did you hear about what happened with Roy Nelson already?
Yes, he was going to apply to the brother,
yeah,
the commission.
He applied to become the head of the Nevada State Athletic Commission. Yeah, Dana White's like, he's a boneheaded idiot. This is the stupidest move ever, blah, 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 blah. What is it Dana White's business if Roy Nelson wants to become the head of the Nevada State Athletic Commission? And you know what? You know what would be hilarious? If Roy Nelson actually did become the head of the Nevada State Athletic Commission, then Dana White would look like a complete idiot for saying what he just said. You know what I mean? Because he's like saying, oh, Roy Nelson's got no chance. Why does he even bother? He's a moron. Well, if he becomes the head of the Nevada State Athletic Commission, the UFC and Dana White will be at Roy Nelson's mercy. So that would be absolutely hilarious.
That would be pretty funny. But as far as I'm concerned, you know, Nelson is still part of the UFC.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, I'm sure Roy did it as a gag, and, you know, I'm not thinking that he's actually serious about taking that position. But, you know, if he actually did, you know, it would be good to actually have a fighter as the head of the Athletic Commission, because they would know what needs to be done to improve the sport more than some, you know, lawyer business type guy like they normally have at the head. You know,
And we're going to have open phone lines, as I stated earlier. So feel free to call in 714-868-0222. Another topic that was basically going off on social media, and that's the absence of Ariel Helwani, a MMA journalist, not in the Fox backstage interviews. He was missing. In fact, he wasn't even allowed in the media scrum. I had the opportunity of watching his show, and he stated that he will have a good a reason why that happened, but he says that he still is with Fox. He hasn't been released. So basically, he is still working with the UFC. Don't know the exact details. Even Dana White commented on this, and rumors started speculating because even apparently the UFC and Dana White stopped following him on Twitter and so forth. So don't know the exact details, but I'm going to be honest here, Guillermo, and personally, I don't like Taylor Helwani. I don't think he's not the best, just in my opinion. But I respect him very much, and I have to be honest. Ariel Helwani signifies what MMA journalism is. I think that it would be sad to not see him behind the stage with the UFC, because I think that he has done a lot for the sport. You know, he is the Brokaw of MMA, if you want to say. You know, the guy has done a lot, and I'm not a fan of him, but I do respect him, and I think that those people who are actually saying that, oh, good for him, you know, he sucks, he shouldn't be there, I think shame on those people, because although you might not be a fan, you have to be respectful to the guy that he has done a lot of things, and he's respected in the MMA community. No matter what, he's a reliable source, and you can't take that away, and it has taken him several years to get to that level to become someone that's confident, someone that you can trust. So if they were to break ties with the UFC, I think that would be very upsetting, but he did say on his show that no, he has not. And when I heard the news, I was very happy. Again, I'm not a big fan of him. I just don't think he's awesome, but he belongs in MMA, and I think he's done a good job when it comes to MMA journalism to a certain degree. I don't know what your thoughts are there, Guillermo.
Well, I mean, yeah, absolutely. He does a great job in reporting the news and getting the stories and all that. And, you know, I remember, you know, our beef with him is more of, like, him trying to be helpful to other media members and, like, helping us advance the sport. And he's great at getting the story for himself and advancing himself. But, I mean, as far as evolving, you know, MMA media and being helpful and mentoring guys like us that are trying to make it up, he's really just turned his back on us and hasn't really, you know, I mean, he won't do an interview with us. He won't talk to us. He won't. You know, that's the part that we have a problem with him with. But he's still a great reporter. As far as being a reporter, he's great. But I think he could be more helpful and more open to advancing other, you know, people in the media trying to advance the sport.
I agree. You know, and I'll go on the record here. I tried to bring him on to the show and, you know, just to welcome him and interview him. And he's, oh, I have to check my schedule. So he came up very arrogant, you know, very arrogant. We've had other journalists here on the show that are happy to come on board and talk about mixed martial arts. But when I approached him in person, it's kind of like he gave me the cold shoulder. So in that aspect, I don't think he's that personable as a person. But do I have respect to him? Just like you, yes, I think he's done a lot for the sport, and he is needed in mixed martial arts. So for those people who were jumping for joy because Helwani wasn't on Fox, shame on you. Again, I'm not a fan of him, but the guy has done a lot for the sport. All right, we're going to move forward here and welcome in our first guest, Tyler Stinson of the World Series of Fighting. Tyler, welcome to the Roman Show.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Awesome. Can't complain, Tyler. Well, congratulations first and foremost on your victory over at the Hard Rock Live in Hollywood, Florida, World Series of Fighting 8, where you defeated Valdir Araujo. Now, going into that fight, Tyler, you know you were coming into his backyard. Obviously, there was a lot of people supportive of him, but it didn't turn out to be that way. You definitely took him down very very nicely in the third round.
Yeah. You know, those fights are fun when you go into somebody else's hometown because, you know, all the pressure's on them. You know, they're supposed to just run right through you and, you know, just have an easy night, but, you know, obviously that's not how the fight game works, you know. And had a little slow start to the fight, then just kind of played defense and got my range down the first round and a half, and then you know, later on in the third round just started putting combinations together and you know, finish them off.
Now, I had some sources with very, very connected to the team that they had stated that he allegedly was sick. I don't know if you knew anything about that, but did you notice something in the cage from him? Did he seem a little sick?
He was sick of getting body shots, that's for sure. I don't know. I didn't. That's the first I've heard of that. You know, he may have been sick. You know, he may have been sick because he cut too much weight. You know, he may have been I don't care. You know, I've fought sick. I've fought injured. I've fought sick and injured, you know, like, and to use that as an excuse, you know, is pretty amateurish, in my opinion. You know, if he's sick, leave it at that, you know, just leave it at, you don't need to tell the world, you know, keep that in-house, you know, but, you know, everybody can do what they want.
Right, I mean, he hasn't gone on the record, but again, if it's just reliable sources that had stayed in, and that's why I figured, let me see if he did see something inside the cage. But one thing about Vladimir, you know, he's known for his Brazilian jiu-jitsu, but when he fought Marcelo Alfaia, a local guy down here in Florida, he got knocked out in less than a minute. Did you happen to see that fight, and did you try kind of get a couple of things from that fight? Did you study him prior to going into this fight, and what did you learn from the video that you reviewed that you used in your fight?
I looked him up a little bit. I didn't see – when I look at videos, I really don't look at, you know, short fights, you know, if it ended in the real quick in the first round or something like that. I looked at his longer fights and only a few of them, just kind of saw that when he you know, throws his punches or his kicks, he comes straight forward. You know, he doesn't have any angles. He didn't have footwork, you know. And my coaches, they watched a little bit more tape on him, and, you know, they saw the same thing, you know, and that's how we decided to beat him. It was just with basic footwork and basic combinations.
Gotcha, Guillermo.
Yeah, Tyler, you know, a lot of the major MMA outlets, they had you down two rounds and then going into the third round. Did you feel that you were down two rounds, and did you feel some sort of urgency going into the third?
I necessarily didn't feel any urgency. The first round, first of all, it felt like it was only a minute. Like, for some reason, the first round went by so fast to me. So I didn't even feel like I, you know, got started. I was like, man, did they switch to 3-minute rounds, or, you know, what's going on here? But you know, whenever you're going in like that, he got a takedown in the second round. You know, even though he didn't do anything with it, and I got back up, you know, judges, if, you know, if your fingernail hits the mat, that's a takedown. And, you know, you usually lose that round. But my coach, you know, he didn't say that if I was losing or winning. He just said I needed to flip the switch. You know, I'd been patient this first two rounds, and it was time to flip the switch and, you know, take this guy out.
And the World Series of Fighting get back to you yet? Let you know when you might get back into and against who you, if you found out anything?
I haven't heard anything. I heard that they got a show in March. I'd like to get on. I'm not hurt or anything, just a little sore. I want to get back in as soon as possible.
Yeah, by coincidence, the champion of your division here in World Series of Fighting, you fought him before. Actually, one of the guys that beat you. How much do you want revenge against Steve Carl, or is it just about the belt?
It's definitely both. You know, me and Steve are buddies. We all hung out afterwards, actually. Me, Steve, Gaethje, and Nick Newell, we were all hanging out after the fight. I thought that was pretty cool because eventually we're probably all going to have to fight each other. And, you know, that was one of the reasons why I signed with the World Series, you know, because their champion is a guy who beat me, you know, and so definitely won another crack at that.
And, you know, throughout your career, you know, you've gone on a lot of 3- and 4- fight winning streaks, and every time something like that happens, something happens and you suffer a loss. But now you're on a 4-fight winning streak. What are you going to do here to keep this streak going and not trip up like you've had in the past?
Just staying in the gym. Staying in the gym, hopefully getting another fight soon. You know, those times before I'd go on those stretches and then I would take a break. You know, and then I'd get out of sync. You know, I'd get out of rhythm. You know, right now I've been in rhythm, you know, this whole, you know, even longer since, you know, these four fights. You know, I've been in rhythm. I've been in the gym. I've been working on my game, you know, trying to get a little bit better every day. And if I do that, you know, and do the things do the small things right, there's very few people, I think, that can compete with me.
He must have had a pretty interesting birthday because you had to do probably a massive weight cut given that you're 6'3", 170 pounds. But then, you know, after that, I guess you got to eat a lot on your birthday then, didn't you?
Yeah, it was pretty cool. We went to a crab shack where they had, you know, all you can eat crab legs and swordfish and tuna and all this stuff. So it was great, man. I fought around my birthday a few times, but yeah, the weigh-ins was my birthday, and then, you know, the day after I had the fight. So it always makes the birthday celebration a little better when you come home with a victory.
And Tyler, we just also heard just recently that Vladimir Paul Harris will be actually fighting Steve Caro for the welterweight title. Will you be watching closely? That's going to be at the World Series of Fighting 9.
Hopefully I'll be watching so closely because I'll be there fighting myself. I heard that as well. I think that's a good matchup. I want to be right there to watch it. If I'm not there fighting that night, you know, I'll definitely be watching it on TV. That's a big matchup regardless of if there's a belt on the line or not. That's a huge fight.
Do you feel that you're one fight away from getting a title shot?
Possibly. One performance away, you know, not necessarily a win. You know, I have to perform. You know, I gotta take guys out. You know, if I do that, maybe. And that's, you know, that's always the game plan is to take the guy out, you know, whenever it is, take him out impressively. So as long as I do that, you know, I can't really worry about when or if I get a title shot. Because like I said, I know if I do the little things right, all that stuff's going to come into play. You know, those title shots will come. Those big fights will come.
Now, Tyler, it's my understanding that the MMA World Series of Fighting is what they're trying to do is they're trying to get a region of fighting per weight class. For example, they're going to have a welterweight title fight for Canada, and that's going to be taking place on February 21st. In itself is great, and it's something that should be done. Your thoughts on that, and knowing that you'll be fighting for the United States versus a Canadian fighter, the champion in the welterweight division, if you were to win the title?
Yeah, I think it's a pretty cool deal, you know, as long as everybody's got a legitimate, you know, champ. You know, I think it'd be cool to go country versus country, you know, kind of Olympic style, but for fighting, you know. I'm all for it.
Wonderful, Tyler. I want to thank you very much, man, for coming on board on the Roman Show. Anything else you'd like to add?
No, man, just thank you guys for having me on, and, you know, everybody at Grudge Training Center and all my friends and family and fans back home in Kansas. Love you guys, and keep watching.
Thank you, Tyler. Hope to have you here soon.
All right, thank you, guys. You guys
have a good night. Thank you. You too. Thank you very much. All right, Tyler Stinson. They are the World Series of Fighting, and that's right, Guillermo. That's what the World Series of Fighting is trying to do. They're trying to build their own champion in a region, starting off with a Canadian one, and that is scheduled for February 21st, which is definitely cool and something that has been talked about, but alas, someone is doing. And Ryan Ford versus Joe Powell, those two guys will be fighting for the inaugural World Series of Fighting Canadian welterweight title. And then, as from what I understand, you'll have different champions in different countries. You know, they're going to go to Australia. They're going to go to Japan. They're going to go to Canada. They're also, I believe, talking going into South America. So pretty unique thing. And I think you and me had this conversation a while ago where you should have a regional champion, at least for the States.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting, like, how they're doing it, because this is pretty much how K-1 kickboxing did it for a long time. They would have a South America champion and an Africa champion and an Australia and New Zealand champion and an Asia champion. And then at the end of the year, throughout the year, they do all these championships in different parts of the world. And then at the end of the year, they would have the World Grand Prix where all those champions got together and fought each other along with some former champions from previous years. And they would determine the world champion that way. And I think it's a really good way of doing things. You know, it's just that it's going to be interesting to see how it works in MMA, especially with a smaller promotion, because K1 was the biggest kickboxing organization in the world. And so, you know, if you're going to watch kickboxing, that would be it. But with there being so many different MMA promotions, will they be able to get the attention and make some profits from this?
Yeah, that'll be pretty neat. Interesting to know. And if it works, do you think maybe the UFC would try to get a feel for it and try to give it a shot for themselves?
Well, I think the UFC, you know, they're of the opinion that if it ain't broke, don't fix it. You know, they're making lots of money with the way they're doing things. I don't see them, like, making too drastic of a change. I mean, the UFC is moving into a little bit of a more regional direction where they're trying to do, like, way more shows and some more localized shows to try to grow, you know, certain countries' markets for MMA. So, but I don't know if they're going to have, like, a regional champion from each place. I think they'll have fights in every place, but not necessarily, like, a regional sort of champion. I don't think they'll do that.
Speaking about regional, we're going to move into regional mixed martial arts as we are going to welcome in just a little bit Yoslandi Izquierdo, who fought for the UFC twice. He also fought for Championship Fighting Alliance. He was a champion over there in the lightweight division and now is fighting for Fight Time Promotions. And Yoslandi will come on board in just a few minutes to talk about his upcoming fight February 7th in Fort Lauderdale. And this is his fourth time competing in that promotion of Fight Time Promotions, where he meets Travis Cox in the main event of the evening. So Yoslandi Izquierdo on the line. And we're also going to speak to him because, Guillermo, next week we are going to have, and I know you're descendants from Cuba, and this caught my attention. This is very interesting, and it's something that no one in the MMA community is covering. But very cool, very neat idea. There are Cuban Americans down here in Miami who are flying to Cuba and are instructing future mixed martial artists. Not only are they teaching them the art of different martial arts, but they are also holding, trying to get sanctioned in mixed martial arts. When you look at it, it kind of looks like amateur MMA. Because you got to remember, I mean, in Cuba, knowing that they do have a dictatorship, they don't have the ability and the freedom that we have in the States. So it seems like things are kind of done behind closed doors. But nonetheless, there are videos out there circulating on the net where you are able to see Cuban Americans, these young Cubans, fighting mixed martial arts. They wear some headgear. There were some gloves and so forth, but it seems like they have more of like a karate, you know, boxing background, maybe some wrestling, but it's not fully developed as a full mixed martial artist. But it's unique because in the UFC itself, we have a couple of Cubans who are fighting in the UFC, one of them being Yoel Romero, also Hector Lombard. Yoslandi was one of them. But these are guys that came from Cuba to the States with a wrestling or judo background and are now pretty much doing a good job in the UFC. So it'd be interesting to see how that works out over there. But these guys are committed, Guillermo, to going out there and teaching mixed martial arts to these young Cubans. And I think the real interesting thing is not that the fact that they're going out there and teaching the mixed martial arts, but how the heck are they doing it knowing that the type of government that Cuba has? And we all know that Fidel Castro is not too much of a fan when it comes to allowing athletes to become celebrities or whatnot. But these guys are really risking it, man.
Yeah, no, I mean, but, you know, Cuba's always had a long history of, you know, Olympic success in various sports. You know, it's always very specific sports such as, you know, wrestling, judo, baseball, and boxing. Those are, like, the big sports. So it makes sense that, you know, combat sports could catch on in Cuba. You know, it's not like they're trying to become ice skaters or anything like that over there. So if anything could catch on in Cuba, this could definitely be it. You know what I mean? It doesn't surprise me. And I think as long as, you know, as far as the communist government goes, as long as it's not going to cause any sort of revolution or anything like that, I don't think they'd have too much of a problem with it.
But it's really neat that these guys are going out there dedicating the time to teaching these young kids some mixed martial arts. Because, you know, I was speaking to Yoel Romero, and he was telling me that people see his fights over there maybe like a week or two or maybe 3 weeks after, because he has to send the DVDs over there. So that's how they keep in touch as far as keeping up to date with the Cuban fighters and MMA. But really cool effort that these guys are trying to do. So we'll talk about it a little later, in just a few seconds, actually, with Yolanda Izquierdo. And also we will have some of the folks that are taking part in this effort. I want to give a shout-out to All Out Fight Shop. That's All Out Fight Shop. They actually provided us with some really neat shirts to give away here in the program, and you can win one. All you have to do is call in 714-868-0222 or tweet us at The Roman Show. And what you have to do is, well, predict who wins between Llamas and Jose Aldo. And if you predict correctly, then we'll go ahead and ship you out a shirt on Monday. You can do that by tweeting the answer at The Roman Show. That's at The Roman Show. And we'll hook you up with none other than a free T-shirt, courtesy of All Out Fight Shop. Well, Guillermo, lots to talk about on the program. In just a few seconds, we're going to welcome in Yolanda Izquierdo. More than likely, the interview will be done in Spanish, but we will go ahead and translate, so don't worry about that. We'll be right back after a small commercial break here on The Roman Show.
Keep listening to The Roman Show.
Thanks, check out the latest news and the coolest interviews on The Roman Show every Tuesday and Wednesday at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Visit us on RodolphoRoman.com or check us out on Twitter at RomanDH.
Check it out. Keep listening to The Roman Show.
Hey, this is Dana White, the president of the UFC. Keep watching The Roman Show.
If every day goes like this, how do we survive?
That's right. You heard the commercial there for the Rodolfo Roman website, RodolphoRoman.com, the official home of The Roman Show, where you can check out some great articles, great interviews that you will find it exclusively on our website. That's RodolphoRoman.com. And while you're there, subscribe to our YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/RRoman0201. And again, I was just actually looking at it the other day, Guillermo, and it turns out that we have close to 200 interviews. Can you believe that? Almost 200 interviews, man. That's just insane. Incredible, dude.
That was a lot. I mean, didn't we already have more than 200 shows or something like that?
I don't even know. I lost count. It's so much already, but we want to thank everyone for allowing us to come into your earbuds, whether you're listening to us on your iPhone or your computer or wherever the heck you are. For those on the line, please stay on. Be a little patient with us, as we will be opening up the phone line shortly. But right now, we are going to welcome in Yolanda Izquierdo, a good friend of ours, who will be fighting February 7th at the War Memorial Auditorium, part of the Fight Time Promotions event. And he is going to be fighting Travis Cox in the main event. Yolanda, bienvenido a The Roman Show. ¿Cómo estamos?
¿Cómo estás? ¿Cómo estás, Bobby?
Bien, bien. Saludos, Yolanda. So again, we are going to go ahead and translate this. As Yolanda is getting ready for his fight on February 7th. Bueno, Yolanda, primeramente, te estás preparando. Felicidades, porque sé que tuviste un niño, ¿no?
Sí, una niña hace 2 semanas.
Ah, felicidades. Congratulations. You just had a child. Gracias. Felicitaciones para ti y a tu esposa.
Gracias, Max.
Bueno, vamos a hablar primeramente sobre tu pelea, que Travis Cox, vas a pelear contra él en febrero 7, Fight Time Promotions. Bueno, ¿qué me puede decir de este oponente? Claramente no tiene el récord que ti, ya que él tiene 6-2-1. Pero ¿cómo te estás preparando? ¿Y lo ves peligroso? Or do you see this guy very dangerous, Travis Cox, who has a record of 6-12-1? And how are you preparing for him?
Bueno, yo veo, él no tiene el récord muy bueno, pero como saben, esto es MMA y aquí hasta el más malo puede ganar 10 peleas seguidas a golpe de suerte a veces. Él es un peleador bien incómodo. Él es incómodo porque tiene mucha lucha, trabaja un poco medio regado, pero es un oponente, no deja de ser un oponente peligroso.
Okay, basically he says that you can never underestimate a fighter. He's good on his wrestling, and yeah, he does have a bad record, but anyone can win in mixed martial arts. Entonces, te estás preparando la lucha. contra él. You're preparing as far as defending the wrestling.
Yeah, but yo estoy preparando mi lucha para todos los que vengan. No solamente para él, sino en general. Mi carrera continúa después de él aún. Pero sí, estoy haciendo mis planes de combate, tú sabes. Pero sí, definitivamente sigo mejorando mi wrestling.
Okay, he says he is fixing his wrestling, but he's preparing for his career in general, not just for this guy coming up on February 7th. This is your fourth time fighting for Fight Time Promotions. What can you tell me about the promotion? Esta es tu cuarta vez que pelea para esta promoción. ¿Qué me puede decir de esta promoción y la oportunidad que te han dado?
Bueno, ha sido una excelente experiencia después que salí de UFC. Fue una experiencia, he peleado constantemente, cada dos meses, cada show he asistido. Y nada, me ha ido bien.
Okay, he says he's happy because he's fought constantly and it's gone pretty well for him fighting for Fight Time Promotions. Now, do you have a contract with Fight Time Promotions? ¿Tienes un contrato con Fight Time Promotions y para cuántas peleas? For how many fights?
Sí, ya termino con ellos. Esta es la última pelea por el contrato.
Okay, so this is his last fight from his contract. Y esta es la primera vez que vas a estar en el main event del Fight Time Promotions? First time you're main eventing a Fight Time Promotions event?
I don't know. No, todavía no he sido informado que vaya a ser el main event, pero si soy el main event, sería bueno.
Ah, entonces no han decidido todavía, porque como lo tienen en la cartelera, parece que fuese la pelea estelar.
Bueno, puede variar de independencia de los peleadores que vayan y los que seleccionen de aquí allá también.
Okay, well, he says it could vary. He's not really quite sure, although it does seem like it will be for the main event. Ahora, un título, que sé que Wagner Rocha tenía el título. ¿Te gustaría combatir contra él? Would you like to fight for Wagner Rocha's title in Fight Time Promotions?
No sé. Después que termine esta pelea, veamos qué es lo que nos prepara el futuro según las negociaciones que se hagan. No tengo nada en contra de Barnes, pero si tenemos que pelear en un futuro, bueno, esto es un negocio y tendríamos que ponernos de acuerdo y echar para adelante la pelea.
Okay, he says he has nothing against Wagner, but he doesn't know what the future holds, but if you have to fight, then it's a business. And he has to fight. That's basically what it is. Pero ¿qué es lo que quiere Yolanda Izquierdo después de esta pelea? ¿Cree que con la competencia que has tenido aquí en Fight Time Promotions te podría llevar nuevamente al UFC? Do you think the competition you've had in Fight Time Promotions will once again take you to the UFC?
I don't know. Yo simplemente estoy peleando para ir levantando más mi carrera y aprendiendo más, cogiendo más experiencia, pero si me llaman ellos u otra organización, yo voy a estar preparado, porque me he preparado bastante bien.
Okay, he says basically he's did the call, he's ready, or another promotion, he's ready. He's just preparing himself to another level when it comes to competition in mixed martial arts. Guillermo, you have a question for Yoslandi?
Sí, Yoslandi, cuando tú perdiste la última vez en el UFC, tú no te fajaste por 9 meses. ¿Estabas herido? ¿Y qué hiciste durante ese tiempo?
Sí,
if he was hurt in the last... Go ahead. Yo lo traduzco ahora. Go ahead.
Estaba entrenando. Yo, gracias a Dios, soy un atleta que he recibido muy pocas lesiones de gravedad, pero estaba entrenando muy duro, estaba trabajando todos los percances que tuve en esas dos últimas peleas, que todos saben que fue la lucha. So, he trabajado muy duro en eso.
Okay, Guillermo basically asked him that what he did after his loss in the UFC, because he wasn't in action for some time, and Yoslandi basically said that he was working on his wrestling, because it was obvious that that's what he needed to work in, and he's been working on that. Go ahead, Guillermo.
Ahora, cuando tú te fuiste del UFC, ¿cómo escogiste la promoción que te iba a fajar? ¿Cómo escogiste Fight Time? ¿Hablaste con la CFA, que tú eres el campeón antes? ¿Hablaste con ellos? ¿Qué pasó con eso?
No, yo no voy a hablar con CFA, yo simplemente opté por mi decisión de hablar con Fighter.
Basically, Guillermo asked that he looked for other promotions after the UFC, and he just said that he just decided to go to Fight Time Promotions. Guillermo?
Sí, y las últimas tres peleas que tú has tenido, noqueaste las tres personas, era increíble, muy rápido, la primera vez también, 18 segundos. Ahora, no, ¿cómo lo digo? Está siendo muy bueno ahora, ¿y qué crees? ¿Has hablado con otras promociones todavía? ¿Has hablado con los Bellators o con World Series of Fighting o esas promociones o no?
No he hablado, he estado bien enfocado en esta pelea. Yo he tomado muy en serio, después de mis derrotas, yo he tomado muy en serio. Siempre las he tomado en serio, pero las he tomado aún más en serio mi carrera, ¿no?
Okay, Guillermo asked him that in his recent past fights he's been knocking out his competitors, and if he has had some calls from other promotions, and he said that no. Guillermo?
That's pretty much about it, Roman. Okay.
Bueno, Yoslandi, no sé si te diste cuenta, pero sé cómo estaba ahí pues en el social media aquí en Florida. El tema ha sido la situación de pago para los peleadores, y quería a ver si nos podía dar pues tu opinión, ya que algunas promociones dicen que los peleadores deben de vender tickets y así es que ellos se pagan. So quisiera tener tu opinión sobre eso. In other words, your thoughts on fighters' pay here in Florida, where some promotions allow their fighters to sell their tickets, and that's the way they get paid.
Bueno, mi opinión personal, yo pienso que los peleadores no deberían estar haciendo ese tipo de trabajo. Ese trabajo debería ser de las organizaciones. Pero bueno, eso no lo cogen por cuello los peleadores. Eso son decisión de los peleadores. No hay que echarle toda la culpa a las promociones. ¿Sí, no? La culpa es que tienen los mismos peleadores que toman esa decisión.
No. Basically, he says that in his opinion, he's not for it, but at the end of the day, you can't just blame the promotions because the fighters choose to sell the tickets. So the entire blame is not just for the promotions itself. Sí, porque eso sí un tema pues caliente aquí. Mm-hmm. ¿Cómo?
No, todo es un negocio, nada es obligado. Tú aceptas o no aceptas, usted sabe.
He said that everything is a business, you either accept or you don't. It's up to you. Sí, porque ha sido un tema pues caliente entre los peleadores, pero cree que como un peleador y te dicen la única manera que tú vas a hacer un sueldo es vendiendo tickets, te quita de ti en tu entrenamiento, does it take that fire from your training if you're obligated to sell tickets to basically get money out of your fight?
Bueno, definitivamente sí, aparte de los entrenamientos, pues está enfocado en buscarte el dinero que te vas a ganar también. Eso no entrena como debería.
Yeah, he says it does affect you in your training because you don't train as you should because you're worried about selling the tickets. Sí, es algo pues difícil. ¿Sí? Así es el negocio, así al final de cuentas, Yoslandi.
Exacto, sí.
Mm-hmm. All right. Ahora, fitness, vamos a hablar un poco de... ¿Ah? ¿Cómo es?
¿Aló?
Yolandi, ¿me escucha? Sí, ¿me escucha, Yolandi?
Sí, te escucho.
Sí, vamos a hablar un poco de las artes marciales en mixtas. Sí, ¿me escucha bien ahí, Yolandi?
Sí, te escucho bien ahora.
¿Aló? Sí. Vamos a hablar un poco de las artes marciales mixtas en Cuba, porque sé que hay un grupo aquí en Miami que está yendo a Cuba, que tú también has sido parte de este grupo y estás ayudando a los cubanos entrenar un poco de las artes marciales. ¿Qué nos puede decir de ese esfuerzo? There's Cubans down here in Miami going to Cuba and they're teaching them mixed martial arts, and we know that you are part of it. What's going on? Can you let us in on the status?
Sí, bueno, fue un arte marcial creado por el maestro Carlos Finalé y Eric Castaño. Como ustedes saben, Eric Castaño fue muchas veces campeón mundial de kickboxing. Bueno, es un programa que se está llevando a cabo para todos los cubanos, para darle una oportunidad de que puedan hacerlo. Y lo cual se ha desempeñado bien.
Okay, it's basically a program starting in Miami, and it's a program that's trying to kick off over there in Cuba, and it's starting out well. Sí, porque vamos a tener uno de los personajes y sea básicamente explicar lo que está pasando y bueno, mi rindo la gorra lo que están haciendo el esfuerzo para tratar de traer estas artes marciales mixtas a la isla de Cuba.
Exacto, yo como un humilde artista marcial pongo mi granito de arena también para que, ¿sabes? Como un buen cubano apoyándonos todos, ¿qué sabes?
Yeah, he says that the Cuban that's what he said.
Tenga reconocimiento a nivel mundial, ¿no?
He says that as a Cuban himself, he does as much as he can to help Cubans to put themselves in mixed martial arts. Bueno, Yolandi, que te quiero agradecer el tiempo y te deseo mucha suerte en febrero 7 cuando peleas contra Travis Cox. You know, good luck on February 7th as you fight Travis Cox. Y en adelante, pues, a ver qué te pasa en el futuro. A ver, tal vez te veremos otra vez en la UFC.
Exacto, vamos a ir trabajando día a día. Muchas gracias por la invitación a su programa, que está muy bueno, y bueno, ahí estamos.
Gracias, Yolandi, mucha suerte, ¿ok? Saludos y abrazo.
Bueno,
saludos, saludos. All right, Yolandi Izquierdo, thanks very much for joining us here on the Roman Show as he is getting ready for Fight Time Promotions. I think they're on their 17th show already. And that's going to be taking place on it's at Guts and Glory, February 7th, at their historic War Memorial Auditorium, as he fights Travis Cox, his last fight in his contract. So we don't know yet exactly what's going to happen with Yolandi Izquierdo afterwards, but we'll make sure to keep you informed. Let's take a quick phone call here on the Roman Show. Caller, you are on the air on the Roman Show.
Am I live?
Yes, you are live.
Hey, Roman, how are you, man? It's your buddy Caesar.
Hey, Caesar, what's going on?
How are you, man? No, I just wanted to talk about the great fight that's coming up this Saturday, bro. And that was a great interview, man. I loved it.
Thank you, man. Such a long time, Caesar, man. My good friend, haven't seen this guy in a long time. Thanks for tuning in. What do you have winning here with Llamas
what?
And Aldo?
Is it your birthday today or is it your dad's birthday?
No, it's my birthday. It's on Saturday.
Oh,
my,
happy
my,
birthday.
My birthday's on Saturday. It's on Saturday. I'm sorry.
All right, I'm taking
Saturday.
It back. Then I'll take it back. I'll take it back, and on Saturday I'll call you again.
There you go, man. What are your thoughts on the fights on the UFC coming up on Saturday?
Well, I'm going with Faber. Faber's on a roll, man. I think he's going to destroy him this time. Last time he had problems and he got kicked. He got kneed in the rib and broke a rib. I don't think nothing's holding him back this time from regaining the belt.
And how about Aldo and Llamas?
Well, I like Aldo, man, but I was looking at Llama. I went over there the other day to MMA Masters, and I was checking him out, and he's looking great.
So you got your money on Faber, and you got your money
yeah.
on Llamas. So you got the underdogs.
Yeah, yeah. And as far as Mir and Overeem, that's like a coin flip. Who's going to get knocked out? You know, I have no idea. Those guys, I'll be surprised if it goes to the second round.
You think the loser goes home? Won't return
yeah, yeah.
to the UFC?
Yeah, yeah. I think, you know, if Frank Mir, you should have put, you know, tied it up a long time ago. And you know, he's going to be a Hall of Famer, you know. I think, you know, he's already done everything that he needed to do, you know. He what else does he have to accomplish, you know?
Of course. Well, Caesar, man, thanks so much for calling in, man. Nice speaking to you again, dude. Yeah. Don't get lost.
No, it's always a pleasure.
Awesome, Caesar. Thanks. Caesar, a good friend of mine. Haven't spoken to him in a long time, man. Thanks for calling in and tuning into the Roman Show. All right, Guillermo, on February 1st, which happens to be my birthday, there's going to be a big show up in Daytona Beach, and that's Max FC. And it's debuting down here in Florida for the first time. Alana Jones will be fighting Susie Montero. Both these ladies are coming off losses, believe it or not. And they are going to compete to see who will get back on the winning column. But before we move forward, we're going to go to a quick break, and we'll be right back with more on The Roman Show.
Keep listening to The Roman Show.
Thanks, girl. Thank you.
Check out the latest news and the coolest interviews on The Roman Show every Tuesday and Wednesday at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Visit us on RodolphoRoman.com or check us out on Twitter at RomanDH. Check out The Roman Show on Facebook. Visit facebook.com/The Roman Show. Like us and make sure you spread out the word about the coolest and hippest radio program on the internet to date. Check it out, facebook.com/TheRomanShow. The Roman Show has captivated the sports fans' attention in a fast pace. Therefore, join the Roman Show family by sponsoring us. Send us an email to RomanDH@Yahoo.com. Join this growing family as it grows quickly. Send us an email right now, RomanDH@Yahoo.com, and notice the exposure your company will get. Again, email us at RomanDH@Yahoo.com to sponsor the coolest and hippest program on the internet, The Roman Show.
This is your boy, Sugar Rashad Evans, and you're listening to The Roman Show.
And we're back on The Roman Show. Rashad Evans there giving us a shout-out as we get ready for the UFC 169. Again, we have an exclusive interview with Ricardo Lamas. You can see it for yourself, youtube.com/allroman0201. In just a few minutes, we're going to go ahead and switch gears and talk some pro wrestling. But as we are trying to get a hold here of none other than Alana Jones, who is getting ready to fight Tuzi Montero. And I believe in just a few seconds, we're going to have her now on the line here. She is getting ready for that fight coming up this Saturday in Daytona Beach. It's the debut of this company. It's the first time around. And, you know, Guillermo was having a conversation about MMA in Florida. And it seems that this year, it just doesn't seem to be going our way, unfortunately. I remember more hype, a lot more hype going into the year when it comes to mixed martial arts events. But not this year. It seems like we're going down instead of actually getting more, which is unfortunate. And the UFC is coming to Orlando. And I don't know. I don't know how the crowd is going to be. I don't know if we're going to have at least 10,000 people there. I hope we do. I hope it's sell out so they can come back. But I'll be honest with you right now, Guillermo. It seems like the panorama of mixed martial arts, South Florida, I would say, it's kind of gloomy right now. And we saw it when the World Series of Fighting came down here not too long ago, when the attendance was not good at all.
Yeah, no, I mean, I thought it was a little bit better the last time, but, I mean, the time before that it was not very good when it was over at UM. And, you know, there's a lot of factors behind that. I mean, I just don't know about the fans down here, how dedicated they are. A lot of distractions, like I said, with other sports and just other things to do in general, like go to the beach or whatever it is that people do. And, you know, last year there was a lot of hype behind MMA down here because of the whole Fallon Fox thing, and TFA was having more events. You know, and there's a bit more going on, but, you know, we haven't really heard too much from promotions otherwise this year. And luckily, well, there's not as many, like, local shows going on. There are at least a few major shows like the U.S. and World Series of Fighting that are coming down, but if these shows are not successful, I don't know what's going to happen.
Neither am I. It's kind of sad again. But I don't like the future as of right now of MMA here in South Florida as itself, because it just doesn't seem too good. But there might be light. There might be light at the end of the tunnel, because we're getting word that CFA will be announcing some big news. So that could be some great news down here for South Floridians when it comes to mixed martial arts. In just a few minutes, we're going to welcome Lexi Fife of Shine Wrestling, who will be letting us know about the Shine 16 that took place last week. They crowned a new champion. And so she's just on the line. And just hold on for us just a few seconds, just a few minutes, as we're going to welcome in Alana Jones, who will be fighting in Daytona Beach this Saturday, February 1st, against Tuzi Montero. Alana, welcome to The Roman Show again.
Hello, guys. How are you?
Pretty good. Welcome back to Miami. I'm sure you're very happy as you're getting away from that freezing temperatures up north where you live over there in Michigan, huh?
Yeah, very happy.
Now, tell me, Tuzi Montero, both of you ladies, unfortunately, are coming off losses, but it's your chance to come up and get back in the winning column. Going into Max FC, what's going on here? What have you changed in your plans since you haven't fought in a couple of months? It's been some months now since you last saw action inside the cage.
Yeah, it has. It's been a while. I'm just been focused on changing mistakes and getting in the gym, working hard, and trying to fix little problems.
What exactly were you working on? Some of the holes there that you kind of fixed up a little bit.
I'm just adding more kicks into my combinations. Focusing on that. Working on my ground game and big focus on that. And just, my striking is already pretty good. And, it's just throwing some kicks and just fixing little habits that I have. Just going to gym and just working hard.
And what can you tell us about Susie Montero, who has some wins, actually, some very some good wins over none other than Kim Couture?
I know she's had some good Muay Thai. I don't really know a whole lot about her, just watched some videos. But she looked like she is a good striker.
A win over Susie Montero, obviously, will put you up there back in the winning column. But going into this fight, you coming off a loss, her coming off a loss, what role does that play into this fight?
I mean, we're both out there. We're both kind of like, I don't know what word to say, maybe desperate to get in there and get our names back up there in the winning column. So we're both going to be wanting to go out and go hard and get the win, because we both need a win. So it's going to be more desperation and want to win in the fight.
Guillermo.
Yeah, Alana, you just fought, one of the best strikers in female fighting in Holly Holm. And what did you take away from that fight? Did you learn anything new? Did you learn some things that you had to work on? What did you take away from that fight?
I learned a lot of things that need to be worked on. As far as, my hands were down, and I did – that was my biggest thing, I had my hands down, and she caught me with a kick. You always learn more from a loss than you do from a win. So, I just been in the gym just working on things or fixing my striking, as far as keeping my hands up, and working on takedowns, something I should have did in the fight, but that's what I've been working on.
And Alana, you were out for 6 months. Was it because you suffered any sort of concussion from the head kick? Were you okay physically after that fight?
Yeah, I was fine after the fight. I've been out for so while. I guess it's been hard to find a fight. Just looking for fights, just trying to be careful with that. But I wasn't hurt at all during fight after fight.
And how many times do you want to fight this year? Because last year you fought three times, two times a year before that. How active do you want to be this year?
I want to fight more than three times. I want to fight every other month if I can, or every month if I can. I want to fight as much as I can. So that's definitely the goal. It's maybe six, seven times. So we'll see.
And Alana, is it hard for you to find fights? I mean, how do you go about that? Does somebody handle that for you? Tell us about that process.
Well, I have my manager, Pat Wilson. He handles all of my fights, goes out, and he searches for fights for me. I'm glad I don't have to do it because I'm sure it's hard work and it's already stressful. So, I just like being able to just worry about training and keeping up with my weight, and that's it.
Well, Lana, and last before we let you go, fought Fallon Fox. Wanted to get your opinion. Your thought when she was defeated by Ashley Evans-Smith, and did you predict that?
Yeah, I predicted that. I knew Ashley, she's a great fighter, and she's got good wrestling under her, and, she has some height. So I knew that she was going there and pull it off. And, I was real happy to see that, by the way.
I think a lot of people were, especially in the arena. When I got to tell you, Guillermo and me have been in several shows down here. I've never experienced the emotional backlash of the fans inside the arena when she won. It was incredible. I don't think I've lived something, experienced something like that for myself. But Alana, with Max FC, are you signed to a contract or just a one fight deal?
This is just for one fight right now. No discussion about contract as it's right now.
Well, Alana, I want to thank you very much for joining us here on the Roman Show, and wish you good luck February 1st, Max FC up in Daytona Beach, Florida, and enjoy the weather.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Alana. Good luck.
Well, there
you have it, folks. Thank you. If you are up north in northern Florida, Daytona Beach, Florida, head on over to Max FC this Saturday, February 1st. You can check out Alana Jones versus Susie Montero. And now Guillermo from MMA, we are switching into none other than, pro wrestling. And before I let you go, Guillermo, and now we're going to go ahead and talk some pro wrestling. CM Punk, that's been the big news of the day. CM Punk has announced that he is quitting the WWE. Is it a work? Is it true? It's still up in the air. We don't know as of right now, but he did come on an interview with Ariel Helwani, and he stated that, you know, one thing that he does have an itch for is mixed martial arts. He's training with the Gracies, where actually Dave Bautista trains. So he might not, but if he did take a shot at mixed martial arts, Guillermo, how do you think he'll fare off? And do you think that pro wrestlers should just stick to pro wrestling? I mean, sure, it worked for Brock Lesnar. I don't think it worked for Dave Bautista, even though he had a victory. I think he had a lousy performance. Bobby Lashley has been okay. There's another one, Vladimir Kozlov, who has yet to debut in the pro wrestling, in the pro levels. But do you think that CM Punk should give it a shot at 35 years old?
Well, I don't know. I don't know what his background is. I don't know if he was a high school wrestler, college wrestler, if he was a boxer like when he was a kid, or if he took karate or anything. Do you know anything about what he did when he was young?
All we know, all we know is, well, he's been a pro wrestler pretty much all his life, but all we do know is that he is training with the Gracies. We do know that. That's a fact. And he says that he doesn't even believe in the ranking of belts. He just says, hey, I just want to be known as a person that qualifies me because of the way I act or perform. But, we've seen this a lot. We've seen it and vice versa. You know, you got MMA guys going into wrestling or wrestling guys going into MMA. But there's been a name thrown out there, and I'll say it right now. Jason David Frank, and we all know Jason David Frank, he is the White Ranger or the Green Ranger from the Power Rangers, who became a mixed martial artist, has gone out publicly and challenged CM Punk. They asked CM Punk whether, if he does go into MMA, do you have him in The Ultimate Fighter, or do you just throw him in there in the UFC octagon? Preferably, I'd like to see that fight happen. Jason David Frank versus CM Punk. Give that a shot.
I don't think that fight's high level enough to be in the UFC. I mean, we may see it in some sort of other promotion, you know, maybe Bellator or World Series of Fighting, but I don't think the UFC would be in the business for sideshows like that. I think both guys would have to prove themselves before the UFC would put on a fight like that. Although we did see them put up Randy Couture against James Toney, so you never know. But that was against Randy Couture. That was to prove a point against boxing because Toney was talking so much garbage. But, I mean, just to put a wrestler who I don't even know if he has any sort of combat sports background against, you know, an actor who has a combat sports background, I just don't know. I mean, you know, Jason David Frank, you know, he was famous a long time ago. I mean, how many fans is he really going to bring nowadays? Nobody, and no offense to him, nobody's really, like, been talking about him in the media too much in the last 20 years. So I don't know how that fight would go. I don't even know if it would be in the UFC. But I'd like to see it. I just don't know if the UFC would put it on.
No, I don't know who would. All right, Guillermo, well, that pretty much wraps up Mixed Martial Arts. Make sure you watch UFC 169, and we're switching gears now, Guillermo. So thanks for joining us, and I know you'll come on and celebrate the birthday and watch the UFC 169 in Miami. So looking forward to it, man.
All right. Thanks for having me on the show.
Yes, sir. All right, Guillermo. And then from Guillermo, we're going to switch to Joe the Reporter. We're going to talk some pro wrestling. Joe the Reporter, who is trying to keep warm in South Carolina, where it is snowing.
Well, not anymore, Roman, but today in the morning, it was frozen. You know, I've seen some pictures, you know, but right now it's kind of dropping the temperature, and any ice that melted is going to refreeze again.
Yeesh. Well, keep warm, man. Get some hard chocolate. Well, we're going to go ahead now and bring in our first guest as we switch gears and talk some pro wrestling. None other than the head honcho herself of Shine Wrestling, Lexi Fife. How are you, Lexi? Welcome to the Roman Show, and thanks for holding.
Oh, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much for being patient with us, Lexi. You definitely had a great, great show this weekend with Shine 16 crowned the new champion. Tell me about this great promotion you have. Ivales is the new champ over there, who ironically was also an MMA fighter at one point. And was also part of the whole TNA gut check gimmick.
Yeah, she's done some MMA training, and obviously she's got a lot of good pro wrestling training behind her. I think she still has a lot of love for MMA, but right now we're kind of keeping her busy. So, but no, she did awesome. I mean, the match with between her and Rain was phenomenal. It was everything that you could ask for in a wrestling match. And, Ivelisse came out on top, and she's our new champ. Unfortunately, it didn't load so well with her after Valkyrie attacked her at the end of the show. But, that happens too in pro wrestling. You know, you have your alliances, and then sometimes they break up. It was a great show.
This show, obviously, not only did we crown a new champion, but we saw the retirement of the former champion, Rain. What does this mean to Shine?
We're trying to build up newer and the new breed of wrestlers. We're trying to bring up our rookies and have them become, popular and very strong wrestlers also. So, it's sad to see one of our veteran, wrestlers leaving, but at the same time, the younger wrestlers should be happy because it opens up a slot for them to be able to maybe move up into. Personally, Rain is a very good friend of mine, so, to me it was an emotional night, but at the same time I understand her decision, and, 13 years in a business like we have does a lot of damage to the body, and, it just comes a time when you have to decide whether you need to take that step away or whether you can keep going. And, she had to make that decision for herself.
And now we're heading on to Shine 17, where you're going to hold a tournament to crown the first Shine Tag Team Champions. Let us know about this big tournament. Who's in it? Who can we look forward to watching?
Well, unfortunately, we had a little conversation with Shine Management, and I am not allowed to jump the gun on that. Obviously, some of the tag teams that we have on our regular roster, like Maiden Sin and the SNS Express, of course they've put their hats in the ring already. They definitely want part of the tournament. We have a couple of surprises coming in, and then we have a couple of other people. Oh, well, Leva and Mia, they announced it. Mia put it on her Twitter account that we've let them come in because they're in that Lucha Strong family that shows up in Full Impact Pro and some other promotions. And they want to do the Lucha Sister thing. So Mia Yim and Leva Bates are going to team up, and we have agreed to that. But we do have 8 teams confirmed, and we will be releasing those names as it goes over this week. So they asked me to please not spoil all the surprises. So
so we're going to have to just keep it tuned to yourself and your Twitter account and the Twitter account.
ShineWrestling.com. Keep checking it. Yes. But we're looking forward to it. The belts look great. I mean, our Shine Championship belt, it came out phenomenally. I think it's one of the most beautiful and stylish belts that I've ever seen. And, I've been around for a long time. And our tag belts are along that same line. I'm getting run over by cats. Sorry.
No, it's okay.
We have 5
right.
cats running around, and they decided to run past me. So if you heard me trip, sorry. Yeah, they're going to be beautiful too. I can't wait to see the finished product. I've only seen the pictures so far, and so we're really looking forward to it. It's going to be a great, great show. So I hope everybody tunes in to see it.
And also, I'd like to invite folks that happen to miss that past show. You can go to WWNLive.com and you can watch the iPay-per-view there at an affordable rate. That's the one that just occurred on January 24th.
The video demand, yeah. Yep, the video on demand is up already. So you can see Shine 16. You can go back and watch, you know, older shows if you'd like. Plus, you know, there's Evolve and Dragon Gate and the whole WWN Live family is up there. So there's a lot to see. I hope everybody checks it out. We've been, you know, really pleased with the fan base growth that we've had, you know, over the last year and a half. And we appreciate our fans a lot because if it wasn't for them, we wouldn't, you know, still be around, obviously. And it's just been wonderful. The iPay-per-view, it gives us such an opening to be able to show our, you know, to put our shows on for people overseas and, you know, people who can't make it to Florida. So it's been a wonderful, you know, outlet to actually, you know, promote our shows. And but if anybody's in the Tampa area, we love to see the live crowds grow bigger and bigger too. So, you know, we love, you know, you guys should come up.
Yes, no, I'm dying to go out there, and I was actually speaking to Trevin the other day of Evolve, that it will soon be out there, because I, you know, as a pro wrestling fan, I love what you guys are doing, especially with the ladies, and let's be honest, you know, the divas in WWE, it's not what it used, it's not what women's wrestling used to be back then. TNA, okay, the Knockouts, they do a pretty decent job, but you know, women's wrestling has kind of lost its touch. You know, you got this whole reality TV show thing going on now. So it's become more dramatic. And but what happened to the ladies, you know, that they used to go out there, you know, and break their backs and bones to give a good show? It seems that they're just not giving them too much time and focusing more on the drama, where these women know how to wrestle. You know, let these ladies wrestle, and I think you guys are doing it.
That's what we really wanted to promote. I mean, we obviously want to have good storylines and a lot of good characters and all the things that go along with pro wrestling, but we also want to showcase the wrestling, you know? I mean, we are in pro wrestling, so we have to have that athleticism in there. And, you know, I mean, I don't blame any of the ladies at WWE for, you know, I mean, they're told to do what they're told to do, and that's what they have to do. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and they're making a good living out of it. So, you know, good for them and everything. But the show that we want to put on is going to showcase the wrestling, and the fluff is going to be the extra, you know? So.
Mm-hmm. And I've had the opportunity of seeing some of the girls that have wrestled for you down here in Florida. And I got to tell you, it's an amazing performance that these ladies do. And again, I invite you to go on their website, shinewrestling.com, and you people will see it with your own very eyes what these girls are capable of doing, and that's WWNLive.com. And it's a great show all around, and you guys are producing talent that, you know, that hidden talent, because some people are not even aware. But it's definitely a hidden diamond what you guys are doing. But, you know, your thoughts on AJ Lee, because although AJ Lee, you know, the WWE Divas Champion, although they tell her what to do, she's actually trying to do her best as much as she can to put ladies wrestling on the map, back on the map.
Oh, definitely. Yes. I agree with you there. You know, it's just, you know, they go and they do the best that they can with the time that they're given and with the storylines that they're offered. And I mean, they have some good wrestlers up there, and, you know, if anything ever happens and, you know, they decide to leave the company, we would welcome them. So.
No, I agree, but sometimes it's just sad, you know, when the girls are trying to put a performance and your crowd is just not in it. And there's a lack of, you know, disrespect when they start, you know, chanting boring and some obscene stuff and no respect. And it's really a shame to some of the fans that do that, because they're trying their best and they don't know what's behind the curtains, what they're told what to do. And I guess these people just don't understand that.
Well, yeah, it's hard. Like the fans, you know, the WWE fans especially have been conditioned to not expect good wrestling from women in a lot of ways. So they don't even, I think a lot of them don't even bother to actually watch and see that they are putting on good matches, because they just assume that they're not going to. So, you know, a lot of times they call it the popcorn match because people are like, okay, this is the girls' match. It's not going to be any good. I'm going to go get my popcorn now. And it's just the way the fans have been conditioned. It's what they expect. But I think if they would actually stop and watch, they would notice that, you know, wow, this is good wrestling. And a lot of these girls really do, you know what they're doing. But, you know, I don't know when that'll change, if it'll change, you know. It's just what the fans are used to, unfortunately.
Yeah, very, very unfortunate. Now, I'd like to get your opinion, knowing that you and are one half of what runs Shine, but WWE just announced that next year when they head out to WrestleMania, they're not going to allow any independent promotions to be around the city where they are hosting WrestleMania. What are your thoughts on that? Do you think it's a little selfish?
I don't pay attention to the politics all that much. Something like that, if they could actually even pull that off where they could say, within a certain amount of miles and stuff like that, I don't know what their restrictions are exactly. I think it's kind of foolish in a way because it's not like it's a competition. Really, I mean, an independent show versus WWE, it's a lot different from each other. It's like comparing apples and oranges, really. I mean, yes, it's a pro wrestling show and a pro wrestling show, but a lot of the fan base is different, and it's not like an independent show would take away from a WrestleMania ticket. So if you're going to go to New Orleans to see WrestleMania, you're going to go to New Orleans to see WrestleMania. If you happen to check in and see an independent show also, it's still not going to change the fact that you're going to WrestleMania and you're going to spend money and you're going to make WWE money. I think maybe they think it's a way to protect their interests, but I really don't see that an independent show would hurt WWE at all. So I think it's kind of silly. Maybe that's a good word for it, silly.
I hope they change because, you know, when we had down here WrestleMania, I mean, let's face it, WWE is a big dog. I mean, it is what it is. You know, they run the game. You know, it's not going to change. But when you have guys like yourself, Shine, you have Evolve, you have Dragon's Gate, you know, you're able to feed these other fans something different. It's not that you're going to lose them. You're not going to lose these fans. If they're wrestling, they're going to stick to WWE. I mean, that's why McMahon is in business, because they stay with the guy. So little guys like Dragon's Gate, they're not going to do anything. It's just kind of like, you know, just going to add a little extra seasoning, but you're still going to eat the steak no matter what. And that's the WWE, that's WrestleMania. You're still going to go no matter what.
I agree with you totally. And I like your analogy, the steak analogy. I like that.
I hope that they, Triple H, which knows, because he himself was a wrestler himself and he tried to work with the indie wrestlers and so forth. I hope there's some change there. Because it's not fair to the fans, you know. I really don't think it's fun to see all these wrestlers. For example, we got the WrestleCons, you know, that's going to be probably pushed away too if this thing happens. But, you know, as a fan, you want to see all these wrestlers, you know, guys that you've seen and girls that you've seen, and now you're going to have a chance to see them for the first time. You're not going to be able to do that in WrestleMania, but you'll be able to do it during that course, that period of that week. And by not allowing the fans to do that, it's just ruining pro wrestling itself. So Shine 17 coming up. Let us know the details. Where can they find information and tickets?
Well, obviously shinewrestling.com. You can get tickets and you can also get all the information, and we'll be announcing all the upcoming tag teams and the brackets very, very soon. It will be February 28th at the Orpheum in Ybor City, which is Tampa, Florida. Bell time is 9 p.m. You can order it on iPay-Per-View at WWNLive.com, and I hope everybody does.
Yes, I'm looking forward to it, and I'm definitely going to go ahead and make the trip up there to Tampa, because you people are putting up good stuff. Evolve, Shine, you guys are doing great stuff out there, and I'm excited. So good luck on the next show, and hope to have you here soon again.
Great, thank you. Anytime, and I hope I do see you at the show on February 28th, all right?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you so very much, and have a good night.
All right, you too. Bye-bye now.
Thank you. There you heard it, guys. None other than Lexi Fife of Shine Wrestling. And, you know, Joe, I remember you were telling me once some old-school women's wrestling promotions and, you know, the impact they had on pro wrestling. And Shine is trying to do that, you know. You had so many promotions out there. Glam, one of them. Glow.
Glow.
Where they had a documentary stating how much of an impact they had. So, you know, I hope this keeps going. And, you know, it's really sad to hear news like what I said, where the WWE is trying to not allow these other small promotions not to have a show because, yeah, look, I mean, in all due respect to the WWE, like I said, they are the horse that pulls the cart, but give the little guys a chance. They're not going to take anything away from you. You know, when WrestleMania came to town down here, I don't know about you, Joe, but I was like a kid in a candy store. I had so much wrestling, I had no idea what to do. I didn't even know what to do. I couldn't even plan out my schedule because there was so much wrestling. Thankfully, I was able to work something out. You know, I went to Dragon's Gate. I went to Ring of Honor. I went to so many shows. You had Ring Wars. But to not allow small promotions and coming from Triple H, I would expect him from Vince McMahon. But from Triple H, who's been in the game, who started in the indie leagues, in the indie promotions, and to not say something, it's kind of upsetting. It really is.
But at the same time, okay, Triple H is trying to do this type of thing. Now, what kind of impact does it also benefit the city? Because not only you're going to go to WrestleMania or Hall of Fame, but then in between those days, you're going to go to all these wrestling shows benefiting the city.
Yeah, it's a win-win situation for everyone because you have these small promotions. They got to stay in your hotels. You know, they got to rent your venues. So it's money. Let's take a call here on the line. Caller, you're on the air on the Roman Show. Caller? Hello, caller? I guess not. All right, 714-868-0222 is the number of just a little bit. We are going to welcome Greek God Papadon, where I had the opportunity of watching one of his matches against Goldust back in October. And by the way, he's going to be in action at CWF in May down here in Miami at the Florida International University. A big event happening. He is going to be wrestling none other than Mr. The King of the 450, Steve Anthony, in a Maximum Force breakout singles match. That's a Greek God Papadon. And if you haven't seen this man, if he is new to you, I advise you to go to YouTube and look up Greek God Papadon. You'll be a fan instantly. Let's go ahead and return to see if we get the caller. Caller, you're on the Roman Show. Caller? All right, well, I guess he's not probably has it on mute. Yeah, you'll fall in love with Greek God Papadon. The guy is awesome. He's great on the promos. He is awesome. But by the way, before we move forward, I have to bring it up. Bruce Santee, wrestler down here in Florida, well known, well liked, put out a
very
promo that was very open-minded, but put out a promo on Facebook that I think you want to say the word will be entertaining, but very, very impactful. Very strong. To what limit do you take it?
Yeah,
to what limit do you take it?
Yeah.
You know, where I know this is a work. I know you're trying to get some I guess gain some fans or get some attention, but to what moment do you take it? I mean, you can't. And especially now with social media, where it's sometimes very sensitive. It's a video, if you haven't seen it.
I think it's just because it's Bruce Santee, and he can say and do whatever he wants, and there's no consequences
limits
or nothing behind that.
Uh-huh.
He says it how it is, if people like it or not, because he's Bruce Santee.
And that's what exactly what he says. But I invite you guys, if you follow Bruce Henty, and I'd love to hear your opinion on his poem. I mean, I think it's great. It's entertaining. But, you know, to what time is there a limit? Is there a limit to the promos, especially when it comes to social media, when you start calling out? Look, just for instance, Matt Hardy, who we just found out that earlier this month, was arrested for beating on his wife. And TMZ picked it up. It had happened a while ago, but until now it's coming out publicly. And if you haven't had the chance, TMZ.com has the entire 911 call where the lady from the hotel is saying, someone just came over here and told us that a man is beating up his wife. They have the mugshots of Matt Hardy bleeding, scratched up, and his wife with a fat lip. So it was definitely some altercations there. Yeah, Rebecca Sky, who definitely had some big altercation there. So my point to say is, with Matt Hardy, and of course that's another subject in itself, but with Matt Hardy, there was a man who posted something on his Twitter account where basically he said that he was going to do certain things to his wife. And Matt Hardy went on the record and say, look, this is Revy Sky. We meant to say Revy Sky. And went on the record and said, is this even legal? Is this even possible? Because he basically threatened the guy. He really threatened Matt Hardy and said that if he, and I'm trying to find it here. He said something in the words of saying that, you know, if I find you, I know where you live. Here it is. It says, where you live, I know where you live, Matt. One day I will break into your house and rape Rebby till she blank dies. Those were the words from this guy, and this was posted back in January 13th. That right there in itself is something to be concerned about.
Pretty soon you're going to see that any kind of things like this kind of matters. It's going to be the same way if I tell you in person, hey, I'm going to do something to you. And pretty soon now we got to be careful what we're going to be saying or what we do, what we post on any social media outlet like Facebook, Twitter, Vines, whatever kind of social media. Nowadays, we got to be careful what we say and how we say it, because sometimes we might say it in a funny, ha-ha way, but it could lead to something bad.
Yes, and for instance, it's right here. This right here is one of them, where Matt Hardy is being pulled out, where the guy says he's going to go rape his wife and all of that, which is something uncalled for. So back to Bruce and T, I invite you to see his promo, and I'd love to hear your thoughts, because he's a very outspoken guy, but again, very entertaining. So I'd love to hear from you guys your thoughts on Bruce Henty's interview. All right, before we bring in Greek God Papadon, the rumor is out there too. Sting might be signing with the WWE, or he's definitely in negotiations from what we understand.
Yeah.
Okay, guys, I'm just gonna ruin here your moment, your happiness. Sting and Undertaker will not happen this year. I'm putting my money on it right now. It's just not going to happen.
Me neither.
But doesn't mean it can happen next year, so you're going to have to wait. But
that's true.
If Sting does sign up, I really do hope he does. I really do hope he does. It's definitely going to bring in a lot of new fans that probably were away from the WWE because of their, well, you know, they just lost interest, but now they're going to come back because Sting is back. But I think that this is just, you know, it was just a moment of time till Sting came to the WWE, and I hope this thing is true. I hope this thing really happens, because the E needs something like Sting. And another thing I need to get off my chest. Daniel Bryan. Okay, Batista won the Royal Rumble. Should he have won it? I'm not too much of a fan of it, but whatever. It is what it is, right? But I will tell you this. Yeah. I think that what they're doing with Daniel Bryan is awesome. Why? Because each and every night, you notice that the crowd chants louder and louder and louder the yes chants to Daniel Bryan.
Yes.
So it kind of goes back to the days where you didn't have social media and internet, it wasn't as popular, and everything just leaked out. We go back to when you had to wait 2-3 months for a match to happen on a pay-per-view, and that is what they are doing. They are building Daniel Bryan. They are building him to be the star that he is capable of being. But you people out there go on social media and break TVs, and no offense to Mick Foley, I thought that was entertaining, because I know he was upset with Dave Bautista.
Mm-hmm.
But let's face it, it makes it more interesting. Listen, I have become a bigger fan of Daniel Bryan because of this whole thing that they don't give him the belt. I think it's genius. I think it's awesome.
What WWE is trying to do is toying and playing with the smarks. With the marks. Because they're like, okay, we know what you're going to do to us. And at the last minute, a curveball. You'd be like, what?
I love it. I think it's phenomenal. I think it's genius. They are messing with the fans.
And it's making me tune in every Monday.
Yes. Yes. And yes. I think
and yes
great.
Again.
I don't know exactly when he's going to get the title, but whenever he does, you know that the fans are going to go berserk.
Oh, no.
You know, there's talks.
That arena is going to be
insane.
But
look, there are talks that he might be wrestling Sheamus. There are talks that he might be wrestling Triple H. We don't know at this point who he's going to wrestle. But it seems like he's not going to be in the main event, I can tell you that much. But I will tell you this, that it doesn't matter who the heck he wrestles, he's going to get a big pop, and he'll probably be the star of the night, except for The Undertaker, of course.
Oh, no. The Undertaker versus Sting match.
Oh, man, that will just blow the roof off the freaking place. But, man, they're doing it outside, so.
They're
doing it on the dome, so, yeah.
Can you imagine if they do kind of a storyline like John Cena and The Rock, like one-year preparation?
That, and you know what? That's exactly what I think it's going to happen. And if they do, I think it's just going to be phenomenal. We're going to go to a quick break. We'll be right back with more on The Roman Show. Call in live, 714-868-0222 is the number. 714-868-0222 is the number.
Hey, this is Nelly from The Roman Show. Are you tired of listening to Roman and the other guys? Well, listen to me as I keep you up to date on the latest happenings in the world of entertainment. Check me out every Tuesday. Did you miss last week's show? Stream the show on your smartphone device from anywhere on the planet. The Roman Show is now on Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, and iTunes. Download the different apps and stay informed with The Roman Show. Hey, you. Yeah, you. I want you to keep listening to The Roman Show. And you don't want to disappoint me, do you?
AllOutMMAGear.com is your best source for MMA gear and apparel. Use code ROMANSHOW and receive 15% off your next purchase. And don't forget to follow us on Twitter at AllOutMMAGear and on Facebook.com/AllOutMMA for the latest on merchandise and special offers. AllOutMMAGear.com, from Miami to the world.
All right, Joe, it's now time to bow down as none other than the Greek god Apollon is making his way to the Roman Show. How's it going, Greek?
I'm all right. How are you guys?
All right. Thank you so very much. And thank you so much, Red, for being patient with us as we're running a little late. Greek God Papa Don is getting ready to come down here to South Florida in May at the CWF event at Florida International University, as he is currently scheduled to wrestle King of the 450, Steve Anthony, in a Maximum Force breakout singles match. But Greek, you definitely have a lot on your plate coming up on February 18th as you get into action with Jay Bradley of Resistance Pro and of TNA at the Extreme Rising. I've seen some of your YouTube promos there calling out Jay Bradley. Let us know about this matchup.
Well, February 8th, Extreme Rising is going back to Pittsburgh to hold their event. And it's going to be an amazing card. You have a lot of quality matches, a lot of great talent on the card from top to bottom. It's being headlined by Stevie Richards, who's the Extreme Rising world champion, versus Sabu. So that should be a good match, obviously. Two great guys, two great talents. And you have myself versus Jay Bradley. Now, Jay obviously is a very talented performer. Unfortunately, he hasn't gotten his just due yet. I mean, he was signed under developmental with WWE. They let him go, which I thought was a mistake. Then he got picked up in TNA. They didn't capitalize on his talent, which I thought was a mistake. So now, you know, their mistakes are Extreme Rising's blessing, and we're looking to put on one hell of a match. He's looking to make a name for himself. I'm looking to obviously continue my winning ways. I have a little series going called Global Conquest Series in Extreme Rising, which means I'm wrestling different competitors from different parts of the world. My first match was against Hijo de Rey Mysterio, who was Rey Mysterio's cousin. He was obviously representing Mexico, and it was Extreme Rising's return show back at the ECW Arena. We had a great match, stole the show, and I'm looking to do the same in February. But this time it's not going to be, you know, with a luchador. It's going to be with the Mr. Boomstick himself. So I'm looking to obviously advance in the series and show that I am the greatest technical wrestler alive today.
And I'm looking forward to that match, Greek. Now, Greek, again, he'll be action also on CWF in May at the Florida International University. You can get tickets already. You can check him up on Facebook, CWF. But, Greek, going into this match and Extreme Rising, I know there was a shift as far as direction there. Shane Douglas is no longer with Extreme Rising. Have you noticed any of the changes, or has it affected it at all?
To be honest with you, no, only because it's only been one show. And only time will tell what happens, what will happen. I know everyone's willing to work together and make this work. I think Extreme Rising has a great product that will continue to offer different fans what they want, and that's a variety and under one show. I mean, you get your wrestling, you get your hardcore, you get your high flyers, you get your women, you get your technical wrestling. I mean, you get it all. You get your brawling. So, you know, from top to bottom, you get, you know, the best of the best. And hopefully, you know, this time around, Steve O'Neill, Kevin Kleinreich, and all, and the rest of the crew continue to do things correctly like they did the first show, and then just continue to grow.
And Extreme Rising, obviously very popular with wrestling fans, because you see guys like Stevie Richards, you see guys like yourself and Sabu. Any chances you'll be near the WrestleMania in New Orleans? Any plans that you know of as of yet?
As of yet, I'm working on something, but it hasn't come into fruition as of yet, so I don't want to say yay or nay, but I'm looking to come down there. Hopefully it does come into fruition and, you know, be part of that big weekend. Obviously, everyone's looking forward towards WrestleMania, and everyone, you know, likes to capitalize and piggyback on the weekend because of all the wrestling fans in the area. And, everyone, you know, it's a good chance for everybody to make some money together. So, you know, if something does happen, obviously, you'll hear it from me first, you know, either on Twitter or on Facebook. And, you know, we'll keep my fingers crossed and see what happens. But, I mean, I have plenty of other shows in the meantime. So, you know, I've got to take everything one match at a time. I can't overlook a match just so to get another booking, because then that may end up backfiring on me. You know what I mean?
No, absolutely not. Greek, I'd like to get your opinion, as we just found out this week that the WWE won't allow any independent shows near their area when they go to California next year. Your thoughts on that? And is it taking away the other wrestling from fans? And is it fair?
I don't know. I mean, in one retrospect, the WWE has a claim because they're putting all their hard work, time and effort, money and resources into putting on an event, and everyone's just piggybacking. On the other hand, you know, there's nothing in the Constitution that says you can't make money, you know, by doing business, you know, in whatever area of business that you're in. So, you know, to try to stop someone from doing business, you know, I mean, I don't know. You know, it's one of those scenarios where it's a glass half empty, half full type of scenario. It depends on what side of the fence you're on and how you're looking at it. You know, from an indie wrestling standpoint, you get to go out where there's a big event, you can sell a lot of merchandise. Instead of the fans coming to you, you're going to the fans, so it makes things a lot easier, so you can make more money. So in that way, you know, it isn't fair because then people are not going to make money. But at the same time, from the WWE side of the fence, they're putting all their hard effort and resources into doing something, and they have their Fan Access Week and all this other stuff, and they don't want to be bombarded by other things. They want to stand alone and shine, and they have every right to. I mean, they're a billion-dollar corporation that's been doing this for 30 years, putting on WrestleMania. So, you know, it depends on what side of the fence you're on and how you're looking at it. It can go either way.
Gotcha. And we're speaking to Greek God Papadon, who will be taking on King of the 450, Steve Anthony, in May in a Maximum Force Breakout Singles match. The event will be taking place at the U.S. Century Bank Arena on May 10th, Saturday, and tickets are already on sale. You can look them up. CWF Maximum Force. Greek, I got to see the match between you and Goldust, man, and you know, the match itself was awesome, but what really got to me was the honor, right, and the privilege that you guys had right after, you know, he pinned you. You asked for the microphone, and the fans were chanting, you know, you still got it. And that was the first thing you told Dustin Reynolds, you know, you still got it. Take me back to that night for the fans that are listening. And if they haven't had a chance, look up Greek God Papadon versus Goldust. It's an incredible match, but I think the ending was just, it was really touching, man. It showed a lot of respect.
Well, you know, everything I said to Dustin after the match was heartfelt, and it was the truth. I never told him he still got it. Because in my opinion, I told him, you know, he never lost it. You know, the bottom line is he's a natural in his business. And it was an honor wrestling him and an honor sharing a ring with him because, you know, usually when you get guys who come off TV from a national level, they come to the independents and they already have a match set. And they put wrestler A in slot A, wrestler A in slot B, C, and D, you know, and they just put different wrestlers who they're working in the same match and they're just going through the motions and just there to make, you know, an easy payday. But that could be farther from the truth as far as Goldust was concerned or is concerned. The guy is like a machine. He likes to work. He likes to go out there and give the fans, you know, effort and their money's worth. And that night, it's the first time we've ever really met. And, he, you know, he said he looked me up and he says, I know your stuff. You're a very good kid. He goes, I want to work tonight, so let's work. And I said, all right, great. Sounds good to me. And he's like, you know, I feel comfortable. I've seen your stuff. You can call the match. And I'm like, whoa, you know, that's pretty cool. You know, usually you don't get that vote of confidence from a veteran who doesn't know you that well. So at the end of the day, you know, I got on the mic, you know, he's, you know, and just spoke the truth. You know, he's a testament. He's a testament to this industry. He's a class act. He's a gentleman, and he's a class act. And, it was an honor wrestling him. I would love to do it again, you know, preferably in a WWE ring, you know, on a pay-per-view or a Raw or SmackDown or whatever the case may be. But, you know, in due time. But it was an honor wrestling him to begin with, and I'm glad we went out there and gave the fans of the RWE a night to remember and a match to remember.
No, it was an incredible match. And again, I invite you guys. It's on YouTube, man. Greek God Papadon, look him up versus Goldust and how the fan just got into it. And you're right. Even at the end of the night, he says that, you know, this is what I do. This is my passion. This is why I'm here in this squared circle. It's very emotional between you. Talking to Greek God Papadon, who held the ECWA Heavyweight Championship for over 500 days. Definitely a lot under your belt there, Greek. So what's next for you? You got a couple of bookings out here. What's the future here for Greek God?
Well, let's see. Where do I begin? Next week is – I'm off next week, believe it or not. This weekend I'm actually off because a lot of people aren't running because of the Super Bowl or whatever the case may be, maybe in my area. But any promoters want to call me last minute for booking on Saturday, hit me up on Facebook or on Twitter. But anyhow, on the 8th, we said already, is Extreme Rising in Pittsburgh. On the 15th, I'll be in New York for NYWC, the New York Wrestling Connection. They're having their annual event called Psycho Circus. And if you are in the tri-state area, I highly recommend you come and check out this event. It's their WrestleMania, quote-unquote, event of the year. The Psycho Circus is a match. I'm not in that match, thank God. It's a brutal, sadistic match. Well, basically, you have two teams. All the belts are on the line. There's tables, there's ladders, there's chairs, barbed wire, cinder blocks, flaming tables. You name it, it's in that match. There's no rules, eliminations. And it's almost like war games, you know, every couple of minutes or every minute or so, someone comes in. Once everyone's in the ring, eliminations begin. And it's just all-out chaos and warfare. So the fans love it. They come in. Every year they're always turning people away because they sell out the building. So, you know, I advise you guys to come down. Same thing with Extreme Rising on the 8th in Pittsburgh. Last time we were there, you know, the fans got their money's worth and they left happy. We're looking to do the same thing again because they have a stellar car from top to bottom with top-notch talent. On the 22nd, I'll be in Ohio for Burning River Championship Wrestling. At the end of March 1st, I'll be back in Philadelphia at the ECW Arena for Extreme Rising's event, where I will be wrestling New Japan Pro Wrestling's wrestler Takaki Watanabe, which I'm looking forward to. And then, I'll be at 21st of February, I'll be in Brooklyn wrestling for Fighting Spirit Wrestling. That's the Ludus, the SAT school. They're having a show on Friday. So check it out, man. I'm all over the place. Yeah, in May, like you said, I'll be in Florida for CWF, where I'll be wrestling Stephen Anthony, someone who I've known for many years. I've never wrestled him. It's the first time we've ever going to wrestle, and I'm looking forward to stealing the show and having a match in the night with him because we're both very talented individuals, and we're both looking to obviously make a name for ourselves. And I'm looking to impress the people down there in Miami and obviously come back and have a good time.
Yeah, man, I'm looking forward to you coming down here in Florida. It's been a while since we had a good indie show, and CWF definitely stepping up with you on the card and several other guys like Kirk and Helms and a whole list of them. Greek, man, I want to thank you so much for joining us on this evening here in the Roman Show. Looking forward to meeting you down here when you come in May at the Florida International University, and always enjoy your matches, man. You're a great performer, dude, and you're definitely you're awesome in this business.
Well, thank you for the opportunity, man. Before I go, let me just say one thing. I mean, anyone out there
sure.
who wants to follow me or whatever the case may be, I'm on Facebook at Greek God Papadon. You can reach me on Twitter, Greek God Papadon. I have my own T-shirt shop at Pro Wrestling Tees, Pro Wrestling Tees, Greek God Papadon. Come see CWF. Go buy tickets, tell them that they're there to go see me. You know, I guarantee you're going to get your money's worth when I'm in the ring, when everyone else is in the ring. Guys like Luke Hawks, like you said, you know, Shane Helms, et cetera, Steve Anthony. So we're all looking to have a good time and put on one hell of an event, you know, and leave the people wanting more. So definitely thank you for the opportunity. Support indie wrestling and, you know, support wrestling in general. And, you know, just come to the shows, man, because without the fans, we're just guys in our underwear fighting, you know what I mean?
Well, you do a good job in it, man. Thanks so much, Greek. Hope to have you here soon again. And looking forward to meeting you down here in Florida.
All right, brother. Take care.
Thank you, Greek. Have a good night. Well, there you have it, folks. Greek God Papadon, he'll be wrestling at the CWF event in May at the Florida International University. As we are getting closer to that day, we'll be having more talent from that show for its interview, a lot of those guys who will be in action in FIU And it's about darn time we have a really good independent show down here in Florida. Cause,
yep.
You know, we have Ring Warriors. We still have heard, I haven't heard anything from Ring Warriors yet, but it's been a while, man. It's been a while. They're going to bring down big names. Like I mentioned, Hurricane Helms and a whole list of it. I mean, they're not done yet. Carlito, so much. And again, tickets are already on sale. CWF, you can look them up on Facebook, CWF, to find out the latest information on the fight and the match card and so forth. Well, want to finish off again with this whole CM Punk, Joe. I don't know what's going to happen with Punk. People think it's a work. People think it's true. I just saw right now a meme that he might be at the $5 wrestling in WrestleMania with Colt Cabana. I don't know. But whatever it is, I hope it's not, because
he's doing this again to
get attention,
to get the people to get on his side, and then WWE will do the same thing. Never know. He might one day we're not even noticing and we're watching him on TNA.
Yeah, and well, Bubba already called him out, saying that he welcomes him to TNA anytime. We challenge him to come out on TNA. He's already had a couple of challenges on already on Twitter. Also, Dolph Ziggler, he chimed in and says he's not going anywhere, at least for a year. He tweeted, "Keep voicing your opinions, WWE Universe.
Yep.
But please stop asking me if I'm going to quit. It's annoying. I still have a year left." So Dolph Ziggler having some fun with the whole CM Punk thing.
And what about the next? What about the next inductee of the Hall of Fame?
Well, absolutely, Jake the Snake Roberts definitely deserved that, and it's about darn time.
Yep.
Now, rumor has it, that the E might be. This makes absolutely no sense, but rumor has it that they're saying that they want Hulk Hogan to induct the Ultimate Warrior. And you know how those two don't get along at all. So I don't know how that will work out, but I don't know how that will work out. But
like
CM Punk did say, CM Punk said that he'll throw his name and he'll gladly induct Ultimate Warrior. But Hulk Hogan and Ultimate Warrior, I mean, that's awesome. I don't know about you, which mind you, he is set to play a role in WrestleMania somehow, some way. But who's to say? Well, guys, that pretty much wraps up our show tonight. Thanks so very much. We'll be back on board next Wednesday night, as we'll be talking mixed martial arts, pro wrestling, and anything else. By the way, Justin Bieber, man, he turned himself to Toronto cops after assault charges. This guy just doesn't stop. He doesn't stop, huh? Hey, this guy is just going down the wire.
He just left from one jail to another one?
Yeah, he's apparently due here for arraignment in next month, I believe on Valentine's Day, actually. I don't know what's wrong with Justin Bieber, but he's got to get his act straight. Nonetheless, check us out next Wednesday night. Happy birthday to you, Joe. I know you will be celebrating it
tomorrow. Yours is on Friday. Yours on Saturday.
Mine is on Saturday. And also, if you're going to be at the arena down here in Miami, Florida, for the WWE Live, look out for the Roman Show shirts. You know, say what's up. Say what's going on. Let's take a couple of pictures to put on our website, RodolphRoman.com, which if you haven't had a chance to see it, go. You're going to love what we got out there, RodolphRoman.com. We worked very hard on that damn thing. And I look forward to all the action. And who do you got for the Super Bowl, man?
Oh, boy. I mean, both teams got the same record. I don't know. I think I might be going for the Broncos.
Well, I'm going to have to go with Seattle Seahawks, because I promised Kalen Hotman, who we interviewed, for a good friend of mine and plays on the Seattle Seahawks and played for FIU, that I'll be rooting for him. So go Seahawks. With that said, have a lovely week. Enjoy the weekend. Lots of action, whether it's WWE, TNA, professional wrestling, football, UFC, MMA, whatever it is. Enjoy it. We will catch you here next week on The Roman Show.
And hopefully, I'm going to try to stay warm.
Stay warm and hopefully CM Punk returns. Good night.
What's up, this your boy Kimo Slice, and if I got one thing to say about these amateur fights, not only did I have a good time tonight, but I want everybody to know you gotta keep watching with Dolph Roman. If you keep your eyes upon that man, you'll be alright, you'll know what's going on. So stay hip to Dolph Roman. This your boy Kimo Slice, 305, and we out.